In case you didn't already know, Hayden Fogle can shred. Hayden, you went from just playing gigs in Buffalo to literally flying around the world this past year. You were one of the Lee Ritenour Six String Theory competition winners. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
It happens every few years. And this year he picked, I think it was seven, eight, nine musicians from all over the world to basically play at the Blue Note in Japan, to go to the NAMM convention and do some demos for Yamaha guitars in LA. And we also went to Switzerland in September, last September. Like, we played at the St. Moritz Jazz Festival at a place called the Club Dracula. And it was only under 100 people there, but it was like, it's a very, very like respected club. And they say like presidents used to go in there and people would talk about, you know, country plans, and it was very secret and very cool. But, you know, especially working with Lee Ritenour, who's considered one of the greatest studio guitar players of all time, at our performance in California, it was very special because it was in Los Angeles and it was where Lee lives and where a lot of other famous musicians reside and live. And it was just ridiculous because you had in the audience, there was Steve Vai, Steve Lukather. You had all these like very, very well-known guitarists and musicians in one place. And actually, I remember after performing, I went and talked to Steve Vai and said, "Hey, man, like I really enjoy, you know, I'm kind of just like fanboying here. I seeing all these people you really have listened to and respect, you know, say, hey, enjoyed your set, you know, it was really cool." And Steve Vai's girlfriend was like, I loved you, you know, it was like crazy. But to have so many cool musicians that are well-respected just in the same room, it really kind of makes you open up your eyes to things. Like, you know, Buffalo is like an amazing city and I've really grown by, you know, working in Buffalo and you know, getting my chops together and paying my dues here. But as I start to travel out, you know, I just played at the Dallas International Guitar Festival in Dallas, Texas. And I just got back. I played the International Festival de Blues in Mount Tremblant, Quebec. And it's like an 8.5-hour drive. Everybody speaks French. And I was performing with Brandon Taz Niederauer, and it was my bassist from Buffalo, Mike Reed, and Kendall, who's his touring drummer. And alongside Larkin Poe, there were these two awards they give out. They give out like the Heartbeat and the Discovery of the festival. It was all in French, so I don't know what the exact translation is, but we, you know, won one of those awards alongside Larkin Poe, which is like one of the top touring, you know, blues roots acts in the whole country. They have 500,000 likes on Facebook. It's crazy, you know, and it was just cool because people are coming up to me and speaking French, and it's really cool as a musician, as you start to go around the world and see how people respond to music. It, like, music is a worldly thing, and it just makes me want to get out and travel because people respect music all over the world. It's like music is a universal language. I know in Japan, hardly anybody spoke English. It's a very, you know, it's Japan, so English is not very commonly spoken around there. So, but we played at the Blue Note, Tokyo. We played two shows, and it's just like one of the coolest clubs in the whole world. I mean, they have a Blue Note in New York City, and they have a Blue Note in Japan, and people don't really speak English there, but, you know, we played a song and I was singing in English, and it was just really cool because people responded to the solos, people clapped and people cheered when we came on. It was really cool, and people were just so nice in Japan. Like, that was a really cool thing. So I think as you start to go around the world, you just kind of open up your eyes to things. which is cool.
Is that what's in the future for you, you think, as you continue on with your career? I mean, you're 19 now, and we were joking, but really, I mean, seriously, we always playing with Buddy Guy, who's arguably one of the greatest blues musician, if not the greatest blues musician from the 20th century. And
yeah,
and you're talking about some of the people you're playing in front of now, Steve Vai, which you said it was a theory competition, right?
Well, basically it's called Six String Theory. That was the name of it.
Yeah.
But what it was is you had different genres that people would submit in. You had blues, you had rock, you had soul rhythm, you had classical, and basically I won the blues category, and there were applicants from over 55 countries, and I was like selected as like the top, you know, blues guy in the world, and they had basically the top, you know, guitar player of every genre in the world, just put them together and let's do a few gigs together, you know, that was the idea. And they had a drummer and a bass player and a keyboard player, like a rhythm section, and we just played material in each of our genres, and then we also played together and jammed.
So when you're jamming with some of these did you know anybody
no.
that you met up with? So tell me, is there some things that you learned while you were there about, because these are all guys from different genres, right?
Right, yeah. So, you know, the jazz guitar player, I'd say jazz is very close to blues, you know, as from a guitar playing standpoint, because you know, you have blues guys and jazz guys that kind of call each other's, you know, you have blues guys calling themselves jazz guys. You have guys like Wes Montgomery who are jazz guys, but they play blues, and you have George Benson, and then, you know, you have blues guys like, you know, Ronnie Earl that, and Stevie Ray Vaughan even did some jazz stuff, like with Chitlin's Con Carne. You had this cross, you know, pollination of the music. So this Cat Cecil he's from New York City. He has a degree in music from Berklee College of Music in Boston, and he's just a killer jazz guy. And I remember when we were warming up the day of the show in Switzerland, the first time we ever really played together, we were just jamming. You know, we had never met before, but just two guitar players. Music has kind of a common language. That's kind of what's cool about it. You know, what makes it very worldly is just like the, you know, anybody in the whole world, you don't have to speak the same language, but you can play music. So we were just jamming before the show, and it was really cool. And I learned some rhythm techniques from the rhythm guitar player. And even like the drummer, he's from Scotland, and the bass player's from Serbia, and the keyboard player's from Estonia. So you have all this, like, these influences. And what's cool is that we all brought a song. And I brought like an Albert King straight blues song. I think it was, let's see here. It was off the Livewire Blues Power album, Blues at Sunrise. That's the song I picked. I just wanted to pick the most killer blues song I could find. And the guy from Serbia, he brought a song that he wrote, and it was like Serbian influence. So you could hear kind of this Middle Eastern feel. And then the keyboard player had his version of Stella. I think it was a jazz cover of one of the most famous jazz songs, and he put his spin on it. So you basically hear everybody's influence on what we think as common music. You have people from all over the world trying to do what these people do. It's really cool. So you just learn from seeing them play.
I know you talk about it. You've been in Buffalo for I mean, your life and mm-hmm. and getting out. But is that the next step for Hayden Fogel, getting out there and doing some more traveling across the world?
Yeah, I think that's definitely I think what I want to do, and my goal is, you know, put out music, travel around the world, around the States, and I mean, I just have fallen in love with traveling and playing music, because what I love about music is just seeing people's smiles and their reactions and seeing the positivity it brings to people, you know, and that's kind of what I want to do, is just travel and play for people. good joker. Games you play. Want the king of hearts. Take you away. Doesn't act like I did. Doesn't show he cares. You ignore me like a red-headed stepchild. When you're with your king, feel like I'm exiled. Doesn't love like I'm in. Doesn't show he cares.
And you've gotten to this point where you've played with a lot of these musicians for so long, and now you're at a point where you're starting to release your own albums with your new album coming out. And just how does that feel? I just want to ask in general, how does it feel to be at this point where you're finally releasing your first album?
Yeah, I think it's kind of scary. Honestly, I'm very nervous because you always have you have your imagination, you dream of what you want it to be like. You know, I have no experience with putting out albums because this is my first album I'm putting out, so I have an idea of what I want it to be like, but I'm just kind of waiting for it to happen. So I guess I'm just very excited and nervous, to be honest. And you know, this is kind of my stamp on the country, like this, and the world. This is my stamp, like, this is Hayden Fogle, this is my first album, check me out. Because pretty much all up to this point, I've gotten my name out there from videos, from people seeing me live, and this is something that is live recorded, but it's on a CD that you can play. And it's, I'm excited, honestly. And I really am curious to see what people, how people take of it, because I wouldn't put it in a box of just, you know, the blues, you know. I wouldn't say it's a blues album, but I also wouldn't say it's a rock album. It's kind of like my own, like what we recorded today. I don't know what you could say. It's like, I've always been into all types of music, R&B, jazz, rock and roll, classical, you know, blues, and I kind of have tried to put everything into it, all my influences. So I don't want to say it's just a blues album, but I don't want to say it's like a rock album. It's kind of like alternative or indie or something cool, something like that.
What's extra impressive for me is that you built your professional resume as you made your way through high school, which you graduated from last year.
So I graduated from high school, and then a few months later, I have a plane ticket to Switzerland all by myself for the first time going out of the country ever to play music. And it's like I never thought that that would happen, like where music and what I love would take me across the world. And I'm just like, wow, like this is living the dream right here. This is amazing. And, you know, seeing, you know, flying over the Alps and just seeing like, music is what brought me here. So it like makes me fall in love with it. Like music makes me fall in love with music every day that I do it.
You are where you are today because you have worked towards it. But I imagine balancing everything in your life was a bit challenging along the way as well.
Honestly, I've been doing this music thing, like I said, since I was 12, 13. So I was in sixth grade when I played with Buddy. So I went throughout all of middle school, all of high school as a musician who, you know, would have his homework to do, but then had gigs to play. And sometimes it was like, you know, I'd get out of school, have to go to sound check, and then I'd have to play a gig, and then I'd schmooze with people and musicians, then I'd get something to eat. And by the time I get home, it's 2:30 in the morning, and I have an hour or two or 3 hours worth of homework, you know, like, and when it gets to the end of the year, it gets crazy because they give you packets of stuff to go over. So I'd be going, I mean, I was real good about it at first, but I mean, I was kind of like that guy that plays guitar, and every teacher was like, oh, you must have been up late last night. Or I don't know. Some people were really kind. Some people kind of gave me a bit of a hard time because they didn't understand what it was, you know, what it's like to be a musician and the crazy eating hours and, you know, not always, you know, being able to structure your routine as a normal person, you know, like it takes so much time up because being a musician isn't just playing, it's traveling to the gig, it's the maintenance of your gear, and basically it's a people business. Like I'm talking to people on the phone all the time, like talking to festivals, talking to promoters, you know, coordinating, because I'm the front man of my band, you know, the Hayden Fogel band. It's like, you know, I've worked with a bunch of, you know, musicians in the past, and I'm starting to solidify the group, but I've basically had to be the manager of myself, but also let my band know about when to show up at the gig, and, you know, if there's any problems, I have to really spearhead it. So I'm not only a musician, I'm also a manager. I'm also, so, and a student, you know, like I had someone tell me, you know, it was someone at my school, they're like, your number one job right now is to be a student. Everything else is just secondary. And I kind of didn't agree with that because, you know, what I love is music, and that'll always be what I always want to do. And honestly, you know, I graduated high school I was on the honor roll. I was in the National Honor Society. I even considered being a surgeon at one point, but that didn't work out, you know. But
and now you're doing it. Blue Note, first album. Just, it feels like the natural progression for you.
I'm just thankful to be doing it because I don't deserve anything that I've been given. I don't deserve any of this stuff. It's just, you know, I'm very grateful for all the opportunities, and it's a lot of just sheer luck and just, you know, I see it as, you know, if it weren't for this happening, this wouldn't have happened. And if it weren't for this happening, this wouldn't have happened. Like, there's a domino effect, and it's like, I can't say, oh, I wish I could change one thing. Because if I were to change that one thing, it could have changed the outcome of everything else. So you just kind of have to accept everything as it comes along.
And what was a key domino-changing moment to get you where you are today?
you know, the first time I ever played with a buddy at UB, it wasn't even planned. Like, it was a late birthday gift. My dad through a coworker knew someone at University of Buffalo Center for the Arts and got me backstage for like a meet and greet with Buddy, a picture and a handshake, and I was back there, and someone told Buddy that I played guitar, and he asked if I brought my guitar, and I said no, and he's like, joking with me how you got to bring your guitar. It's like a bricklayer without his tools, and he's like, you know, do you want to sit in with me tonight? Do you want to play guitar with me? And I'm like, yeah. And his guitar tech just took me backstage and gave me Buddy's second guitar that he had. He had two. He gave me one of his and strung it up, tuned it up, got the amp ready. And all I did was, you know, he called me up at the end of the show and I jammed with him for like 10 minutes, 11 minutes. And the rest was history. But that, right after that happened, I really like, you know, that was a moment where over 3,000 people saw me play blues and keep up with touring musicians and one of the greatest, most prolific blues musician of history and one of my personal all-time favorites, you know, Buddy Guy. And through that, I met so many musicians that heard that I played with him and invited me to sit in with them. They're like, I saw the video, man. Like, do you want to come sit in with us? And basically, like, that was a catalyst for, you know, getting into the music scene in Buffalo, and I formed the Ambassadors, you know, a year later, and we started playing gigs all around town. Our first gig was at the Niagara Falls Blues Festival, you know, and I think that moment with Buddy was just, like, it just tipped the scale, where I'd been playing guitar since I was 8, so it was, like, 4 or 5 years, and I just started getting in the blues for about 6 months. And playing with Buddy, you just kind of figured, you know, he said to the crowd, this is the kind of young man I want to see carry on the blues. So I kind of felt responsible as being almost like a torchbearer. You know, Muddy Waters told Buddy, don't let the blues die, you know, and everyone's telling me you can't let the blues die because it's, you know, one of the last times I saw Buddy, he just, we were backstage and he was saying that I can count the radio stations on my fingertips that play my music. And it's just so sad because back in the day, that was the music, that was pop music, you know, like the 40s, the 50s, that's what they played on radio. B.B. King was like a radio host, you know, and it's like, it's crazy. And it's something I love and I don't want to ever give up.
That Buddy Guy moment was around 6 years ago. As far as torchbearing goes, you've done a lot so far in the area.
To this day, you know, J.J. White, Jeremy Keys, you know, some of these, the top musicians in town that everyone reveres as like the top, you know, blues guys, like, let me sit in with them when I was only 12 or 13. I was listening to videos. I'm like, oh, man, I wasn't that good. Like, why did they let me sit in with them? But it's like they gave me the confidence that I needed because when you're learning about something, you need people telling you that you're doing good so you stay motivated, you know. There were a few people that kind of had some, you know, they weren't so supportive, but no one really kind of went out and said anything really that nasty to me. Everyone supported me. And but I think the thing is, it's just, if it weren't for the support of Buffalo and the musicians in Buffalo and people coming out to see me play and sharing my videos and like following me and referring me to festivals and the people and meeting people, I don't think, you know, I'd be where I was if it weren't for the people, you know, in Buffalo. That's why I love Buffalo so much, because they've supported me. They've gotten me to where I was. And I said that in the album, you know, before I played, I told everyone that I wouldn't be here doing this if it weren't for everyone here. So I just want to say thank you.
it don't run out.